This week on the Time Bat Show.
If you think about it, like, every young adult novel needs to have, like, a bad name as the title, like Harry Potter.
And the something of something or other.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode 100 and something. I'm your host, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Fat Snacks.
Sorry.
It's okay. We're off to a bit of a rough start today. We had a rough start with recording.
My favorite part of that, and the listeners aren't going to know what the hell is going on, but I was like, I'll do it. I'll start the recording. And then I was like, it's too much pressure. I can't do it. Oh, God. How are you today, Bad Sex?
I'm pretty good today. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing well. I'm not as depressed as I was last Thursday. I'm in a better mind frame state. Is it mind frame? Mind state of mind?
I think both work.
Mind frame sounds like a cool band name.
Yeah, it does. That's probably better for your person, but I don't know what that means for the podcast, because when we're depressed, it's usually...
I think it's much worse for the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Mind Frame down on my list of band names. Did you know that I have a list of band names that I keep? Like, that would be cool if I ever started a band?
That's a good idea.
Isn't it? I have, like, almost 100 already in this list. And I have even more because I have an email. I used to have it on an email... And now I have it on, like, the notes section of my iPhone, you know?
You know what we could do for trivia one day? Mm-hmm. I bet you could make a trivia question. Which one of these was a band name I thought of? And I would be able to tell you which ones you thought of.
Like, versus real bands?
Or just, like, versus... I guess, yeah, you would have to use real bands.
Right. Or I guess I could use other made-up bands that other people made.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could do that.
I 100% bet you I would be very good at picking
up. I can't use Mind Frame because we literally just came up with that one. But
I mean, you might be able to. My memory is pretty
bad. That's true. Well, next time, remind me to do that, and I can totally do that because I have plenty of bands. And there are plenty of obscure bands from the past that I can use, you know, that have weird names that I can
Try that to I trick definitely
you.
Wouldn't know.
That I could try to trick you with. Yeah, totally. So yeah, episode 100 and something, 1120, I don't know,
11T, 50 and a half, and three, four longs.
Anything go 3/4 of the way. How's it going today, this week? Like, anything new with you?
I've got a big story for us on this episode. I want to get right into it.
Right into it, okay.
Yeah, right into it. So right before we started this episode, you tweeted a picture of... So Stan Lee, who passed away in November of last year.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. His social media account on Twitter has been tweeting ever since his death.
Which and is today, super weird.
Which is weird. We can talk about the ethics about it, but there's some weirdness I want to go into first. Mm-hmm. So ever since his death, his account has been tweeting kind of like, you know... Like memories from his life, pictures of him.
Like a tribute to him.
Yeah, like tasteful things for the most part. But today, they tweeted out an advertisement for the premiere of Captain Marvel, which was on March 4th, which was 4 days ago.
Which I think is pretty gross, personally.
Which, yeah, like I can understand a tribute. I still disagree with it and hate it. Sure. But,
but they're basically using his name to promote. Using his death account to promote this movie, which is kind of gross to me.
Yeah, and since it bothered me so much, I kind of went and did some research about the nature of his production company and his social media accounts, and there's some wacky stuff going on.
Oh my God, get into it. Tell me.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
So I'm going to go
in. You sent me a list before the show.
Yeah. I've arranged all of these events in chronological order. Uh-huh. We're going to go backwards in time.
Okay, I'm going backwards in time.
Just today, on March 8th, there's been a bunch of stuff in the news about a Stan Lee tribute in Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The tweet that we have a problem with that was an advertisement was 2 days ago.
Okay. On the
6th. So already, already that's kind of weird. It looks like because this tweet has gotten such a like a negative reaction from fans, it looks like these stories could be written by actual employees of his production company and sent to news agencies to like publish. Do you know what I mean?
To kind of like soften the, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to soften the bad taste of that tweet.
The bad tweet. Yeah. That they can't really delete now because it's already kind of
got retweeted. I mean, you can delete it, but that would just make it worse.
It would make it worse. It would. So you think they're trying to make up for it by doing this? Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
But if we look before March 4th, which was the premiere of Captain Marvel.
Now, really quick, the tweets that he sent today, that his account sent today, were they retweets of stuff or were they like new things?
This was new stuff. That tweet that got the most negative attention, it has more attention than any single tweet since his death. So this has kind of been blowing up a little bit. And if you look back to July 11th of last year, there was a news story on movieweb.com. I'm going to bring it up on my computer right now. It says, Stan Lee's social media accounts are back in his possession.
That's weird.
That's so the headline.
They weren't in his possession before?
No. It says that they believe that someone was in control of Lee's social media accounts.
Tweeting
actually,
for him.
Yeah. Without his consent. And the person that is suspected of doing this got a restraining order in July of 2018.
Jeez.
This was before he died. He got a restraining order against this person in order to get his accounts back.
That's wild.
And his production company made this statement online. The statement reads, to help Stan continue the tradition started with Stan's soapbox, PAL, social media team created and has for years solely managed. It goes on to say, but Stan Lee's social media accounts are once again being exclusively managed by PAL with Stan's participation.
So they're admitting that before they weren't managed by him. And now they are. Well, not anymore. But back in July of last year, they started to be again, basically.
Yeah. And on this story from July of last year, it has a link to Stan Lee's website where there was a full version of this statement. And if you click the link to this full statement, it's been taken down from his website.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
You get an error 404.
This is super bizarre. And now someone is tweeting on his account again. I guess maybe the same production company?
It is. We'll get into that. But if you follow this link to the full statement, they removed it from the website. This statement that says that the account is back in his possession. They just deleted it. I went to the Wayback Machine. Do you know that Internet Archive site?
Yeah, sites.
Yeah, it looks like it was taken down. Let me make sure I get this right. In February, on February 23rd. So that was like 2 weeks ago. They took down the statement.
That's a weird timing for that.
Yeah, this was like right before they had the plan to start using his
to promote
social
Captain
media.
Marvel.
Yeah.
It's like they were like, okay, we need to make this account a advertising platform now.
Right.
For Marvel movies.
But to do that, we're going to have to get rid of this statement that, you know, before says that Stan Lee's social media account was not in his possession.
Because if they left that, then it's like, okay, you gave it back to him, and then you just, like, once he died, you were like, oh, now we're going to tweet.
Take it
him
away
again.
Yeah.
Because what it should be is, if it was back in his possession when he died, it should just be like, go to his family, you know? It's like, okay, you can do whatever you want with this, like, you can do a tribute to him or whatever, or you can just deactivate it, but they clearly just made ads out of it, which is super weird. So it's like, it's almost like they had this planned after he died.
So we said that happened in July. His social media account created a statement that the account was back in his possession. 2 months before, in May, mm-hmm. there was a story on CNN that says Stan Lee files suit against former production company in excess of $1 billion.
Wow, that's a lot.
So,
is this the same production company?
Yeah, this is the production company.
It is?
Yeah, it's PAL. Yeah.
No, it's not. Then how are they able to... What the... This feels weird. How are they able to 2 months later be like, oh yeah, we're back on Twitter tweeting for Stan. He's good with it, even though he tried to sue us 2 months ago.
For $1 billion, with a B, dollars.
But doesn't it... I remember the story from last year. Doesn't he go into saying, like, they abused him physically, but, like, abused him in order to, like, get their way or something like that? I remember reading, like, something like that.
Yeah, let me just make sure. Okay. According to the lawsuit obtained by CNN, PAL CEO Shane Duffy and co-founder Jill Champion mm-hmm. conspired and agreed to broker a sham deal to sell PAL to a company in China and fraudulently steal Stan Lee's identity, name,
God.
Image, and likeness.
Holy shit! Dude, they've just done that again! Like, they're basically using his name as a company now, with his Twitter. Because he's got, like, 3 million followers.
3.6, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And they say... The lawsuit alleges that it's part of a nefarious scheme to benefit financially at Lee's expense.
Of course it is, because they obviously, you know, are going to harness the power of all his followers to advertise right at them. And, you know, on any social media platform that he's a part of, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And now that he's dead, he can't do anything about it.
He can't do anything.
This
lawsuit was never settled. Yeah.
And here's the really shitty thing. As long as they put a couple tributes, pictures here and there, sprinkle them in, and then advertise, but still advertise, that it's like people won't care. It's like, oh, they're honoring Stan Lee. And it's like, go see the next Marvel movie in theaters, this whatever, you know.
Yeah, that is the exact counter-argument. As long as it's thank you, Stan Lee, in the credits of the movie somewhere, they can get away with doing this forever.
And I bet you they're not even employed by Marvel, because this is his own production company. So they're probably making money from Marvel. Oh, this gets really shady, though, right? Because it's like, either way you slice this is shady. Because either Marvel is paying them to hold Stan Lee's Twitter account hostage... You know what I mean? To do this? Like, either Marvel is employing these people on Twitter to do it, or Marvel is paying them to advertise from Stan Lee's Twitter account that they illegally possess. Which, either way, is really fucking weird. You know?
Yeah. It says that this lawsuit began when his wife died, when he was in the grieving process. People from his production company... fired his banker, his lawyers, and transferred $5 million out of one of his accounts.
Yeah, they tried to take control of his whole legacy, basically.
Yeah, they forged a $300,000 check, and they bought a $1 million condo.
And these people, for all we know, are still in charge of his Twitter account.
They 100% are. It says on their website that PAL still manages all of his social media.
They've basically stolen his identity, even though he's dead. You know, they basically stolen it at this point. That's so fucked up. Now, there was another message, which is before he wrote... You haven't got into this yet, but I noticed this. He wrote, help, someone has hijacked my Facebook and Instagram page. Like, he said that at some point, right?
That's a tweet.
That's a tweet from him.
That was on the same day as the CNN story.
That was on the same day as the lawsuit was filed.
Yes.
Well, near the same day.
No, the exact same day.
So, at that point, he got control of his Twitter, tweeted that out. You know, the lawsuit was talked about on CNN.
Yeah.
And obviously, in some way, in the next 2 months, PAL wrested control back from him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he died, and now they still have it, theoretically.
Yes. Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, he's dead. He can't do anything about it. His legacy is now his social media accounts, which some skeevy production company is using in order to advertise to the general population.
And it's worse than that. It sounds like they're just stealing his estate. They're stealing the money he made and using it to buy condos.
Yeah. This is great. Yeah. And yet they're still parading as if this is Stan Lee. Oh, we're a tribute to Stan Lee, you know. It's like, no, you're just using his dead body in order to...
Yeah, the CNN article points out that Stan Lee, when he was approached by Disney in 2009, did not even sell unlimited rights to his image to Disney at that time. So if Disney couldn't pay him...
Disney doesn't have the rights to his image. Pal definitely doesn't.
Yeah, and if Disney can't afford to buy him, then Pal... definitely can't.
Yeah, but Powell is taking control anyway. This is so weird.
It's weird, dude. This is a total conspiracy.
I hope this is reported on. Because I remember this report from last year, but it was only of the social media team was trying to take advantage of him, blah, 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 blah. I did not realize that they still have control to this day. Which, that's super fucked up to me, because I thought it was like, okay, he sues, he's going to win, and then it'll be over. But he died, and now they're just like, yep, we still got it. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing that could happen for them, because now he can't fight back anymore, you know? And they're like, yep, we still have Stan Lee stuff. And he still has a fucking blue check mark on his name on Twitter, so it's as if Stan Lee is still tweeting from the grave.
Yeah, that's another thing we can talk about, just kind of the ethics of using the image of a dead person.
That is completely unethical in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I think that if you were to look for laws, you're not allowed to, like, profit. Like, if I steal your driver's license, I'm not allowed to profit off the dead. I'm not allowed to go start, like, a bank account in your name if I steal your driver's
license. You're also not allowed to make money off of a dead person, like, off of their likeness. And you're also not allowed to impersonate the dead either. That's very illegal. Because that's how people get out of things. Like, they pretend to be a dead person so they don't have to do things for the government or whatever. And I would consider tweeting on someone's Twitter account as impersonating the dead. You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if Twitter has verified this person as this person, then... And there's no real way of knowing whether or not... like, obviously they're dead, but, like, to a person that doesn't know that, there's not really any way of knowing that they're not, you know, that they're not the person tweeting.
Yeah.
So I would consider that impersonating the dead, you know.
Yeah, it's super messed up, man.
I don't think it's ethical in any way, shape, or form, but that's just me. I don't know. I kind of want to see, like, I kind of want to see this cracked completely.
Yeah, I want someone to do a better job than I just did to look into this.
Well, you did it in like 10 minutes.
I found all of this in 10 minutes. There's more dirt, I guarantee it.
Stuff going on here. I would like to see a full investigated journalist report about this.
Me too.
Because this sounds like something is messed up with his estate, and his production company is completely profiting off of his likeness and person, as he's, even though he's dead. And like... the only people that should be profiting off of Stan Lee, as far as I'm concerned, are Stan Lee's immediate family. Or whoever he wrote in his will to, like, get money from shit. You know what I mean? Like...
yeah.
And even then, they shouldn't be tweeting as him, you know?
No.
So, like, royalties, sure. But tweeting as him? No. Using his dead likeness to promote things? No. Not no, in any that's way. Messed no up. One should be able to do that. Anyway.
Do you know what makes this weirder? Just... you know, Disney, all right, this was years ago now, but do you remember in Star Wars when they, like, resurrected Princess Leia and Admiral Tarkin?
Yeah.
It's just weird.
When they, like, digitized their faces or whatever.
Yeah, Disney and Marvel have this very strange outlook on death that is, like, doesn't seem normal to me.
It's like it's just a profit maximization, right? They're like, well, I don't care about that, you know, we'll just do this. Disney is... I mean, people love Disney, but they're probably the most evil company in the world. I mean, I can't think of... maybe not the most evil. They're definitely the most evil entertainment company in the world. They just don't seem to have, like, a lot of ethics. Like, they don't care what they have to do to make money. They just kind of do it.
Yeah. I would like to get insider access to, like... Disney business ethics documents and just look at the death section, because you know they talk about this stuff. They're like, okay, what can we and can't we do to the dead?
To the dead, yeah.
There's a whole document on this, I guarantee.
And it's probably a really weird read, because it's like, oh man, this is gross. This is all
yeah.
Gross.
Like, if they're willing to go and do this kind of stuff, like, where do they draw the line?
What are they not willing to do?
What is, yeah, where's the line get drawn?
Have you seen the movie? It wasn't a very good movie. Have you seen the movie The Congress?
No.
Okay. So, let me pitch you this movie really fast. It wasn't very good, but it's worth seeing because the premise is weird. So, do you know, the hell's her name? The girl from The Princess Bride, Robin something or other. You know who I'm talking about?
I know who that is, yeah.
Robin, God, I have to look it up. I'm sorry. I know I'm doing this in the middle of the episode, but it's fine.
It's all right. No worries. Princess
Bride. Where are you? Why doesn't it just say people? Robin Wright. Okay, Robin Wright. So Robin Wright, the actress in The Princess Bride, the main character, other than the other guy.
Yeah.
The princess, Wesley. Obviously, in The Princess Bride. So, Robin Wright, the actress, is in this movie called The Congress. And she plays a fictional version of herself, Robin Wright, okay? And this is in, like, the future, like, in the 2030s or something. And she's, like, not older because they justify it by being like, oh, there's, like, anti-aging technology or some shit. I don't remember. But anyway, the point of the movie is one of her agents is like, Robin, you're getting older. You know, you're probably not going to be acting for very much longer. What we want to do is buy your likeness, like, completely. Like, own all of your likeness. So what mm-hmm. they do, and she's, like, kind of strapped for cash at the time. So she's like, okay, I'll do it. And what they can do is, like, scan, 3D scan her in a computer. And then for the rest of time, they can use, like, a digital version of Robin Wright in movies. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Which is super weird. So she agrees to do this, and then, like, the movie gets really, like, messed up and weird. Like, they go in, like, another dimension or some shit. It gets very, like, Philip K. Dickian, but in, like, a... they don't do it super well. But the premise is really interesting because it, like, flashes forward, like, 100 years in the future, and they're still using this, like, digital version of Robin Wright. But not only are they using that, they're using, like, a digital version of, like, Tom Cruise and, like, all mm-hmm. these other people. And basically, these companies are buying the likenesses to celebrities and then just using them, you know, indefinitely.
Which forever.
Which is a really mm-hmm. weird gray area ethically. I think it's obviously unethical, but, like, it's a really weird ethical gray area. And
mm-hmm.
it kind of reminded me of kind of this, obviously not to this, you know, it's a ways further down than stealing Stanley's identity, but
I mean, is it? That's basically what they did to Carrie Fisher. I'm sure she consented to her use in the Star Wars
right.
movie.
Well, she was alive at the time, right?
Yeah.
So this is where it gets really weird, and this is why I brought this up, because, like, when Rogue One came out, Carrie Fisher was alive, and they could ask her, hey, can we digitally make you, like, make a digital version of you and make you younger for mm-hmm. Rogue One? And she was probably like, yeah, that's weird, but it's fine. Now that she's dead, what happens? Can they make a digital version of Princess Leia, like, even though it's her likeness? Like, is that ethical? Is that legal? Like, sure, Disney owns the rights to Princess Leia, but they don't own the rights to Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
It's impossible to own the rights to a human being, you know? And knowing Carrie Fisher, she probably wouldn't want that.
No.
Because she was a pretty independent,
cool person.
Opinionated woman that, you know,
yeah.
doesn't really take bullshit much. But yeah, it's a weird future. And did they get the right to the actor that did Tarkin? Like, maybe from his family, but, like, does that mean they should be able to do it? Like, if I died and my family was like, sure, use his right, use his likeness, like, from the grave, I'd be like, no!
Please stop!
Don't do that! Like,
yeah.
that, like, you need my consent. It's not anyone else's. It's just mine, you know, at that point.
Yeah. That's what bothers me the most about this, is Stan Lee cannot consent to what they're doing on his behalf.
And he never will be able to. And
yeah.
Even if you said his family can consent, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not them. It's him. And yeah. he can't consent.
And what makes this example particularly bad is it looks like there's a long history of very serious conflict about this company using his likeness to profit off of him. So,
and now they're like, after he's dead, they're like, oh, good, this is good. Now we can do this as much as we want.
Yeah, they're like, finally, probably.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
All right, we should get into something lighter now. That's a depressing conversation. We just spent 25 minutes talking about Stanley and how this is... The future is fucked up with this stuff. Like, I know we talk about, like, dystopian future all the time on the show. And a lot of time we're like, oh, that's not going to happen, that's not going to happen. But, like, this is happening now. Like,
yeah, that just happened today.
This is happening right now. Like, weird... The ways companies are exploiting people is going to continue for indefinitely. It might not be as terrible as it as you see it in the science fiction movies, but it's going to happen on a much lighter scale, and it's going to happen in such a way... Disney's good at this. They're good at, like, doing just a little, so it's not super weird, right?
Yeah.
And then they just keep doing a little more and a little more, and then we get desensitized to it, and we're like, oh, this is fine. This has been this way for years. Like, it's fine. Yeah. That's what they did with copyright law, right? They're like, oh, we're extending the copyright of Mickey Mouse. And everyone's like, oh, that's fine. I mean, Mickey Mouse is great. And then they're like, oh, we're going to extend it again. And they're like, all right, I guess you still need it. And they're like, we're going to send it again. Okay, I guess you still need it. And they're like, oh, we're going to send it another time. And now we're like, wait a minute. They've extended it so many times that copyright, like the original purpose of copyright, which is like it only lasts so long and then it goes in the public domain, that just went out the window. And it's because Disney slowly... over time eroded that, but they did it in such little incremental steps that we were just like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, and they established the precedent that that's an okay thing to do.
And so they're establishing that precedent a little bit with Stanley, and then in, you know, 10 years from now, maybe when some other actress or actor dies, they'll do another thing where it's like, oh, look, we're going to do a tribute to them in a movie by digitally recreating their face. Actually, this would probably happen in like 3 or 4 years on.
Yeah.
Digitally recreate them in the movie, and everyone's be like, oh, that's so touching. And guess what? That actor probably didn't consent to that at all. But they did. You know,
if we go full, like, hell world, they'll make it so that in 100 years, you can pay to have sex with Stan Lee. Like, his digital image.
And they'll be like, and they'll spin it as, like, it's a tribute to him.
It's a tribute. Like, you can honor him.
God damn it. Oh, man. This
is... I'm sorry.
No, you're totally right. Yeah. It would take a while, but we'll get there eventually. Like, they'll get there eventually, but they'll do it in the incremental steps. And you know in 2 to 3 years, like I said, they're going to have another actor that dies, and they're going to put a tribute in a movie by being like, oh, look, it's a digital version of him or her. And everyone's... All the fans would be like, oh, that's so sweet. It's like, it's not sweet. They didn't get consent. They're desensitizing you to owning people's likeness. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. It's like their souls, man. It's like that movie you were talking about, The Congress. Yeah. And, you know, the devil. It's like the classic jazz story. The devil came up to me and he was like, I'll teach you how to play guitar real good, but you got to give me your soul.
Yeah.
And then the guy replies, he's like, well, I gave it to him because I wasn't doing anything with it at the time.
Exactly. And then and then later you're like, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
That was not a good idea.
And that's... It's messed up. Anyway, I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the future. And I don't think anyone's going to complain because they're going to do it so slowly. People will complain as it happens, like, a little, but there's never going to be like, oh my god, this is terrible! Because they're not going to ever do something that's such a big step in the terrible. You know what I mean? They're not going to digitally recreate Stan Lee in a movie and, like, make him an Avenger or anything like that, you know? Because people will be like, what the hell is this? You know?
But, yeah, it's a balancing act too. It's like what they're doing right now. It's, you know, yeah, they're going to use him, but there'll also be little tributes here and there so that it looks tasteful.
Yeah. They're going to balance it. They're going to do it in steps. Anyway,
anyway, first trivia question. Let's get it.
Yeah. Anyway, if you have something to say about this, because I feel like other people have different opinions about this. This is just my personal take and your personal take. Tweet at us at timebatow or email us at contact@timebatow.com.
Yeah.
Let's get into your first trivia question. I guarantee trivia is not as depressing as the Stan Lee dystopian universe. Oh, that's good. That's like the Marvel universe, but the Stan Lee dystopian universe. Like the MCU, it's the SDU. It all starts with Stan. I just imagine it in 100 years. It's like one of those cyberpunk kind of Minority Report cities, and you're walking over. You remember the part in Minority Report where they have, like, the sex chambers?
Yeah.
Where, like, you go in and you, like, VR sex with someone?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Is that in Minority
I know what you're Report? Talking about.
And he, like, has to get the guy to, like, help him with some, I don't know, thing. But, like, in that, there would be a Stanley choice. Like, you could pick that.
Yeah.
You know?
Why not?
They would have every actor and actress from the past, like, 200 years. You could pick anybody you want.
Yeah. Even if they didn't explicitly say, yes, you can use my likeness in a sex chamber. Like, the fact... No, it's exactly what they did. It's exactly what they did with Mickey Mouse. Like, copyright law was established in this way.
Yeah.
And now, like... Now the copyright law has completely changed. Uh-huh. Like, we look at everything totally differently, yep. And new things are acceptable.
Yep. So we're just like, yeah, that's fine. Yep. Like, you can get in there with Marilyn Monroe or whatever. Whatever you want, you know.
Stanley.
Whoever you want. Whoever you want. Oh, that's a sex chamber. It's so weird, man. All right, your first trivia question is, the category is history. What lifeline would you like?
For history, I'm not very good at it. I'll go Monty Hall.
Sex chamber.
Would you go in a sex chamber?
No.
Would no,
you?
Neither
would you? All right, back to trivia. So what are you picking? History is your...
History and Monty Hall.
History and Monty Hall. All right. Your trivia question is, where was Leonardo da Vinci born? Was it A, Rome, B, Florence, C, Palermo, or D, Vinci?
I'm thinking it might be Vinci. That's his name.
It is his name.
You know how you have, like, Weston of Earl?
Sure, sure.
Maybe it's Leonardo of Vinci. Of Vinci. Maybe that's how you say that.
Yeah, no, Italian. I don't disagree with you.
No. I think the answer is Florence, but I'm going to Monty Hall.
Why do you think it's Florence, out of curiosity?
It just sounds...
Sounds right.
It sounds right. I feel like I've read that before.
Okay.
Monty Hall. I'm going to Monty Hall and lock in Vinci.
Okay. You shouldn't have locked in Vinci. It's either Vinci or Florence.
Okay. I'm going to go with Florence. Final answer.
Florence is incorrect.
No, you're kidding.
No, I'm serious. It's Vinci. Why do you think I put it in there if it wasn't correct?
There's no such place.
There is! Why do you think... Were you just joking when you were making the logical, like, oh, Da Vinci, maybe?
I was just joking. That wasn't... That
really?
Was a joke.
Oh, no,
yeah.
That's true. Vinci's a real place.
Is that his real name, or is
yes.
it actually what I said? That no. he's Leonardo of Vinci?
He is Leonardo of Vinci.
That's his That's name. Terrible.
Why is it terrible?
I mean, it's not terrible, but I thought you were trying to trick me.
No, I mean, I was. I was trying to trick you in that I was trying to trick you into not choosing Vinci by giving you real Italian places, and that apparently worked.
If you had given me anything other than Florence, I would have thought about it for longer.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Damn it.
It's funny. Anyway, now you know he was born in Vinci, which is this province of some other place. What else we have on the show? I don't even know. I'm so discombobulated after the really bad start we had on this episode and then talking about Stanley sex chambers for 30 minutes. You know, it kind of takes a lot out of you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Last time on the show, we were talking about a...
Oh, I know.
I created a name for...
Would you have...
would no, you, come on. We need to get past
would
that.
Would you go in a sex chamber? What? What's so funny?
The sex chamber thing. It's weird.
Well, I'm going to bring up your fictional girlfriend.
No,
Ursula
I wouldn't.
Ursula Hazeldine.
That's creepy. Hmm. No. My fictional character
girlfriend.
Is Ursula Hazeldine. Don't say girlfriend, that's bad.
You created her on the last episode.
Yeah, and you had an idea. You said that sounded like a young adult novel.
It does sound like a young adult novel.
Yeah.
The Mysterious Adventures of Dr. Ursula Hazeldine?
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like a real young adult novel?
It really does. If you think about it, like, every young adult novel needs to have, like, a bad name as the title, like Harry Potter.
And the something of something or other.
Yeah.
A bad name like Ursula Hazeldine. Yeah. And she would be, like, a librarian.
Almost certainly, yeah.
And, but she's, like, a secret librarian. Like, she's librarian, but she's, like, part of a secret society or something like that. That meets in the library after dark.
Oh, they meet underneath the library.
Oh, yeah, even better. And in she was, yeah.
In the secret library chamber.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, they're, like, a pact of people who, like, fight the occult or something. I don't know. They would fight some force, some bad people. Mm-hmm. It might not necessarily be supernatural, but some kind of bad people, they would, like, be the protectors against them. And Ursula Hazeldine is, like, the leader. She's, like, the doctor, so she knows, like, all the stuff. Okay. You know, all the ancient stuff and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
I've got some ideas already. This sounds really cool. There's something that's really big right now called open intelligence, which mm-hmm. is, like, organizations that are public intelligence agencies. Mm-hmm. So, whereas the CIA keeps everything classified, open intelligence makes everything open so that everybody knows everything. And they do stuff like track flights, and they like listen to shortwave radio and use like the internet to decode mysteries. I think maybe this is so. There's an open source intelligence agency, but they have a private sector. It's like a black unit, and it meets under the library.
Ooh.
And no one knows how this like this supposedly open intelligence agency gets its information, but what it's really doing is it goes to this black unit. And I think maybe she stumbles into the meeting one day, like, accidentally. And it's we either have to kill her or we can let her join us.
And then she joins and she proves she's, like, really good at it.
Yeah.
And that's the first book.
Yeah.
Her stumbling into it. Maybe she's, like, she's hired as a librarian to the library. And it's, like, a really nice library. Like, a really, maybe not famous, but it's, like, a really, it's not, like, the Library of Congress-level library, but it's, like, a really prestigious library. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, she's a librarian. She's a doctorate in maybe literature or history or something like that. You know what I mean? So, like, she has, like, high qualifications.
Right.
And she is hired for the library. And she's working, like, late one night, like, doing something in the library. Mm-hmm. And during this time, like, they're having the secret meeting. And, like, maybe to get to the secret meeting, you have to be, like, you have to go through a secret chamber, like, outside the library or something like that. And there's also a secret chamber in the library, but it's really complicated. Like, you have to go to walk towards one of the bathrooms, and then there's, like, this really weird bookshelf that no one uses anymore and hasn't been updated since, like, the 80s or something.
It's like A-track tapes. Yeah,
pull out a really obscure tape that no one will ever get. And then it opens the secret passage. And she's, like, categorizing that because she's, like, Ursula Hazeldine. And she, like, opens the chamber and then goes down. And then they're like, oh, no, now we have to either kill her or bring her along. And she's like, I know a lot about everything. I can prove my usefulness or whatever. And
right.
then they, like, send her on a mission. And they're like, if you fail this mission, we'll have to kill you. Oh, maybe they can wipe people's memories, too.
Yeah. I think that's nicer than killing
her. Yeah, they're like, we're going to wipe your memory, and you're going to get fired from the library unless you complete this mission and prove that you're one of us. You know what I mean? And they're called, like, the Mysterious Misfit. I know, that's bad.
How about the Secret? That's what they call themselves.
They're just the Secret.
The Secret.
Yeah, exactly. And so then she goes on an adventure. And she has to do, like, an Indiana Jones thing. I don't know. She finds, like, some artifact hidden somewhere. And, like, the Nazis are after it. Or somebody, you know, some evil organization is after it.
Yeah.
And she has to use her wits and knowledge of history and libraries.
Yeah. She's super smart. I think maybe they have to assign her some kind of retainer. Like, someone that stays with her to make sure she stays in line.
Yes.
And maybe this can be, like, a romance. Because you need to have that in young adult fiction.
It's very important. Yeah.
Yeah.
But whoever her romance is, like the guy or the gal or whatever, is like a lot worse at everything than she is. Like they're clearly inferior. But they're like the comic relief or whatever too.
Like maybe like their dad got him in or something. Like they're not really supposed to be there. Like
they're like fifth generation the secret society. But like they're not very good at it. They're just kind of there because it's generational. They were born into it or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, and they'd rather be something else. Like they're like,
oh, they'd rather be a chef.
And they're like, I wish I was a chef instead of the secret society. And maybe Ursula is like a really good chef.
Yeah.
And she almost became a chef, but she was like, that's boring. Like, I don't want to do that. You know?
Yeah, it's also really stressful, you know.
But she's like, I want to be in the library. And this guy's like, oh, and this guy's already in. This guy's doing what Ursula would want to do, but he doesn't even want to do it. He wants to be a chef. And she's like, being a chef is stupid. Like, I've been there. Like, I worked as a chef to get myself through grad school or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in a kitchen, you know?
It's perfect.
And this guy's like, I'm going to be the best chef ever, but I have to be in the stupid society.
Yeah, no one even likes me. I'm bad at it. Like,
yeah, and he, like, listens to, like, really terrible music.
Yeah.
Like, he's an annoying, like, pop culture guy. You know what I mean? Like, he likes really dumb movies. He listens to really dumb music. He doesn't read, even though he works in a library.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know anything about literature.
Well, there has to be something attractive about him. Like, otherwise, this doesn't work. Maybe he just has, like, he has a good heart.
He's a good heart. He saves her life one time, and she's like, all right. That doesn't make you fall in love with someone, saving your life. That's true. Like, thank you, goodbye.
You know, he has a good heart. I don't know if that's enough.
There needs to be more.
He has to be an interesting person.
Maybe he's not the love interest. Maybe it sets him up as a love interest, and then in the end she's like rejects him because like, no, I don't care about you.
Oh, I love it, dude. She rejects him and like she retains her status as like the badass you know, like girl who's like out there.
It makes it seem like it's gonna be a stupid love interest thing, but then at the end he like asks her out on a date in like a really dumb way. He's like, you wanna go out to boo boo? And she's like, no. No.
She's like, oh, I can't do this. I'm sorry.
She's like, no, goodbye. And then maybe he's in the future books as her sidekick, but then they're just like,
it's platonic.
Yeah, he's just like a dumbass comic relief sidekick or whatever, you know.
Maybe in the future books, she gets like a real love interest, and then he has to like work with them.
No.
And it's like, there's this weird tension.
No, this is what happens. This is what happens. Yeah. See, I already have this. This is already like in my head completely clear. Later on, in like book two or three, a love interest is introduced that has to work with her, but then it's revealed halfway through the book that he actually works for the evil octopus organization or something like that.
Yeah.
Their arch nemesis. And then throughout the rest of the book series, they're like always meeting each other. And when they meet, they're like, they're enemies, but they're always saying like quippy phrases, you know, like repartee back and forth with each other.
I love it. Yeah,
he's like, Ursula, I see we meet again. And she's like, he's like has a French name like Pierre or something. And she's like, Pierre, I see you're still in the business of crime or whatever. And he's like, always, it pays better or something. And he flips his hair, you know.
And there's I heard about a really crazy conspiracy theory recently, and I think I have a good idea for the bad guys in this book.
Tell me.
It's going to sound totally insane, though.
Oh, I want to hear it.
So maybe this book, so the octopus men or the octopus organization is the perfect name for them.
I don't know why I use that name.
Their whole deal is they're the highest ups in like the New World Order, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
They're the big, you know.
Yeah.
People that control everything. Yeah, and the octopus guys are like the leaders of the New World Order. Mm-hmm. And their whole thing is they do like seances with alternate dimension beings. That's how they get the secret knowledge, like nuclear fusion and like rockets and cloaking technology.
Mm-hmm. And they sell it on like the black market or something too.
No, they give it They give it to the New World Order.
Oh, just to
and
control
then
the world.
They play it off like they're these brilliant scientists, mm-hmm. and they're just finding the answers but organically. Not. But in reality, they're in contact with this evil chaos alternate dimension being.
And Pierre works for them.
Yeah.
Damn so it, Pierre.
Yeah. Maybe Pierre doesn't know the extent of everything yet.
Right. He's just in it for the money. You know, he's like a the charming thief kind of trope. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the lovable rogue.
He's like, it's all the same color in the end. Like,
it's all money to me. Yeah. Whatever. His name's Pierre Bonaparte.
Love it. Yeah.
That's the real love. But he's not introduced to like book two or three. And then Dudley, like the dumb one, I don't know why I just named him Dudley, but I think that's a good name for him. He's like, oh, I wish she liked me, you know?
Yeah, I wish she liked me.
And then there's like a spinoff one where Dudley and Pierre have to work together, and Ursula's not in it. She's like doing something else. It's like a spinoff. And Dudley and Pierre like get sucked into an alternate dimension and have to work together. And they like grow together and like give each other tips or whatever.
There's conflict at first, but it's kind of in a funny way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I hate you, but we have to work together. Oh, you're so stupid. Like, why?
And then at the end, like, Ursula comes through and saves both of them or something like that. But she's, like, not in the book until the end to save them. This could be a series.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm, again, like, last week we described this woman, and I'm still picturing Carmen Sandiego. I don't know
why. It's a good look.
Smart,
I think she would
independent,
be
independent, you know.
Yeah. I'm picturing her as like a little bit goth.
Mm. So she wears
like maybe
dark
she
colors.
Just has black, maybe just a black trench coat.
Mm, black trench coat, yeah.
Yeah.
Really big, not big, but like round sunglasses or round reading glasses, like round glasses.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She'd wear one of those like big hats. Now she's just Carmen Sandiego in black clothing instead of red though. Damn it. Are you ready for your next trivia question?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is a question that Ursula Hazeldine would definitely know the answer to, by the way. The category's animal. What lifeline would you want?
I'll do 50-50 for this one.
Okay. Which of these is not a type of bird? Which of these is not a type of bird? A, the satanic nightjar. B, the Prince Rispoli's Turaco. C, the invisible rail, or D, the gourmand lyricist?
Ooh, this is, I don't think any of them are real.
They're all real except one. Do you want me to read them again?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, one of these is not a real bird. The satanic nightjar, Prince Ruspoli's Turaco, the invisible rail, or the gourmand lyricist?
I think it's the Prince one.
Prince Rispoli's Turaco?
Yeah. I'm going to use my lifeline,
you don't think that's the real bird?
No.
Okay. What's your lifeline again?
50-50.
Okay. It's either Prince Rispoli's Turaco or the gourmand lyricist.
Gourmand lyricist. So those other two were real.
Yeah, satanic nightjar and invisible rail are real birds.
Ah, God, I want to see both of those birds. They sound badass. All right, Prince Vistoli.
Rispoli's Turaco.
Okay.
Or, and the gourmand lyricist. One of those is not real.
Well, my intuition failed me on the last question.
That's true. You could go opposite, or you could double down.
Do I double down or do I walk it back?
I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with the Prince one. Gonna go with my gut.
That you think that's not the real bird?
I think that's not the real
Prince
bird.
Prince Rispoli's Turaco. Is that your final answer?
My final answer.
Prince Rispoli's Turaco is incorrect.
Damn.
The gourmand lyricist is not a real bird. All the others are real.
Gourmand lyricist.
I made up gourmand lyricist, yeah.
That's a good bird name.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Final Fantasy character, too.
Yeah, it
the
does.
The gourmand lyricist. Anyway. We have listener questions today, and I want to get into them because we don't have... We talked a lot already, and I want to get into them before their final trivia question. So, okay. I want to go over them now, unless you had something else you wanted to bring up.
No, I think we should do listener questions.
Okay. We had two today. Well, we technically had one, but I'm going to make another one out of another question. So, we had a question, basically, that was... This is by the same person that sends in all our questions. Thank you. You know who you are. Thank you so much. So... The premise of the first one was inspired by a tweet from someone else. But basically it is, if you haven't seen an old friend in a very long time, but you used to be like really good friends, like maybe best friends, mm-hmm. and you haven't talked to them or seen them in a very long time, how would you go about reconnecting with them if you were to do that?
Well... I think, like, we have a good story about this, don't we?
Do we? I guess we do.
We've probably told it before a couple times, but...
It's like, a weird... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, I wouldn't recommend to do it
that way. I wouldn't recommend it to do it this way.
I'm not saying that I would change anything, but...
yeah.
I think we're just weird people that have to do things in weird ways.
That's true. Yeah.
In our specific case, I don't know the exact timeline, but... It was something like, you took the first step, you messaged me on somehow out of the blue.
I think I found your email or something.
Yeah, and then I found the email, and I just replied with, oh, I'm at a fighting game tournament. Uh-huh. And you were like, oh, cool. Uh-huh. And then while I was at Evo, you were like my point of contact there. I like told you everything that was happening, because I needed someone to like talk to, because right. I was there alone.
And I was kind of jealous, because I was like, I want to go to Evo, that's not fair.
And at the end... I was like, hey, let's just go to SGDQ together. And then you said yes for some reason. Like, I don't think that's how that usually works.
Because it sounded cool. I don't go a lot of places with people. And then there you go. That's how it happened. Which is really, like, if that was a different person, it would have been really weird. But I think because we were friends, good friends before, like, it's fine. You know what I mean? But, like, I wouldn't recommend this on a person that's, like, not super good, close, best friend material on, you know? Like,
Yeah.
You can't just be like, hey, you want to go to a random place with me on vacation? It's like, not really.
You're going to be stuck with me there a week, and there's going to be no escape.
But how long was it between, like, us not... I mean, we weren't never not friends, but you know what I mean? Between us not really talking and then, like, reconnecting. It was like...
It was a while, it was a few years. Like,
it was at least a few years.
Yeah, it was the same thing as the person in the question. It was just, you know, like school, life, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Everything gets in the way. Yeah. Then you just gotta...
Just gotta go. Reconnect. Gotta take the leap.
You gotta do it.
You gotta take the leap. Probably not asking someone to go on vacation with you, though. Don't do that. I mean, unless that they're that kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. Like, if you were like, hey, I'm going to Siberia on a train in Russia, do you want to come with me? I'd probably be like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I would probably say yes to just about anywhere, just because I like to do that kind of stuff.
I still want to do that one day. And we're going to do it when we turn 30, and that didn't happen. Now the goal is 35, I think, right?
It's a good goal.
Do you want to do that with me still? The Siberia thing?
I will. You say the day and I'll go. Seriously. It doesn't matter when.
It's really expensive. That's like the only problem.
Is it like $10,000
expensive? No, but it's like a few thousand dollars. Here's the problem with this vacation, right? So like you could go other places for the same amount of money. And after you come back and people ask you how was it, you could be like, oh, it was great. I did all this stuff. I went to a volcano. I saw this museum. I went to this da-da-da-da, you know, all this stuff. If you go to the Siberia thing and they're like, how was it? What did you do? It was like, well, I was on a train. It's like, is that it? It's like, yes.
It's like, well, I got to get off a couple times.
Like, there's not a lot of life experience in there, but it would be worth it for me. I just don't think it would be a good story, but I digress. You know, what are you going to do? Are you ready for... I'm going to do last trivia, and then we're going to do the final listener question. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. Your last trivia question, the category is food. What lifeline would you like?
5 second Google.
5 second Google. This is a good choice for 5 second Google, I have to say. What beverage was the first American consumer product made widely available in the USSR? Ooh. Was it A, Coca-Cola, B, Pepsi Cola, C, Dr. Pepper, or D, Schweppes?
I hope it's Schweppes. Alright, I'm gonna have to use my 5-second Google.
I knew you'd appreciate that one.
But
what do you think it is before you Google it?
I think it's Pepsi.
You think it's Pepsi? Why do you think it's Pepsi?
Because Coke, I feel like that's like ours. We wouldn't just give it up so freely to the USSR. We didn't have the best relationship with them.
Uh-huh.
And we wouldn't just give them Coke.
But, I mean, it's not we. It's Coke choosing to give them Coke, right?
Coke can't just go and do it, though, with one of someone who's not, like, our ally.
Why can Pepsi, though?
Because Pepsi, they're like, whatever, it's not as good.
Pepsi's, like, the, like, edgy one. You know what I mean? They always do the edgy thing. They're like, they know they're not as good as Coke, so they, like, have to make up for it by trying to be edgy. Like, take the Pepsi challenge. And, like, Pepsi, like, have ads that are like, Pepsi's cooler than Coke. And it's like, we sell Pepsi in the USSR or whatever.
That's my logic, though. I feel like people would just be like, yeah, just give them Pepsi. They'll never know the true good taste of Coke. Pepsi sucks.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You really don't like Pepsi, huh?
I mean, I don't really like either of them that much, but...
Coke is your preference.
Yeah.
All right, you have 5-second Google. I'm not going to even time you. No, yeah, I have to time you.
You could just use your hands or something if you want.
Nope, I'm using the timer. This is how it goes. Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, Google. Hands off. What do you got?
I have to confess something. I made a mistake when I was Googling, and I just Googled Pepsi USSR.
And what'd you get?
So, I see a Pepsi can that has Russian writing on it.
Okay.
So maybe that's...
Well, it's just the question is, what was the first? All the other ones could still be there eventually. It's just
this looks like a pretty old can.
I mean, to be fair, you could probably Google any of these in USSR and find a can of the product with Russian writing on it.
All right, on the first page, I'm not like clicking anything. It says how Pepsi won the USSR and then almost lost everything.
Oh.
So maybe how Pepsi became the preferred cola of the USSR. There's the giveaway.
So they were first, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not necessarily. I'm saying that if cola was first, that would become the preferred cola because it obviously tastes better than Pepsi.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
So therefore, Pepsi has to be first because... Yeah. Coca-Cola would have just won otherwise.
Yeah, if Coke comes later, then Coke is just everyone would hate it.
Sure. But now here's what you're not accounting for.
Mm-hmm.
You're not accounting for Schweppes.
That's the dark horse.
Because they could just go in there and like nothing has like, oh yeah, we got Schweppes. Like, okay, doesn't mean anything to the Coca-Cola versus Pepsi Cola debate. But like they could have Schweppes.
They could.
They could.
I'm going to go with Pepsi, though. Final answer. I think my logic is okay.
Pepsi is correct. Wow, you really logic through that. I'm imagining like an edgy 1980s Pepsi Russian Pepsi commercial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people in those big hats, like drinking a Pepsi. In like in like Leningrad or wherever, you know, like in a really cold Russian city.
They're maybe like in
a, oh, go ahead.
They're driving like a military buggy really fast. Yes, down the road.
Yes, it's in the winter because it's always in the winter in Russia, and they're all wearing the hats and they have pants on, but they don't have shirts on because they're so badass because they're Russians or whatever. And the driver's drinking a Pepsi, and it has all this Pepsi. You know, it has the logo, but in the middle of the logo, it's got like...
It's got the sickle.
The hammer and sickle.
And he's like drinking the Pepsi, and he's like, more Pepsi. And then the guy grabs him like extra Pepsi from the cooler.
Their cooler, yeah.
Is this a truck or a car? It's a buggy.
Do you know like the Model T looking military buggy cars?
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, it's like that.
So his buddy grabs him another Pepsi from like the cooler. And then they like turn really fast into this one road in like they're in like Leningrad or whatever, and they're like they like park next to a dumpster. They do the cool turn park where it's like whee, and then they like skid near it, you know, and they park that way.
This gives me an idea. I'm sorry to interrupt, but instead of a buggy, it's that motorcycle with a sidecar.
Yes, and that's his buddy. His buddy yeah. who's giving him Pepsis from there. So they like skid near the dumpster. They get out. The guy puts on a coat finally because he's like, no, actually, at this point he's wearing a coat. He takes off his coat when he gets out of the car because that's cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then he like slams another Pepsi, throws it on in the dumpster, walks into the alley, and then starts brawling this other guy. Like they have like this arranged back alley fight.
Nice.
And that guy was drinking a Coke.
Yes.
And then the Pepsi guy wins. Like, with one punch.
I'm going to make two changes. So, when he's throwing the Pepsi can away, uh-huh. it lands in a recycle bin that says, make sure you recycle so we can use it for ammunition for the war.
Because he's, like, a good guy.
Yeah, he's the good guy. He recycles.
And there's, like, a bunch of Coke cans in the trash can.
Yeah.
Even though they don't sell Coke in Russia, the bad Russian people like imported it illegally or something.
Yeah, and when he goes to fight the bad guy, before he fights him, he should do like a backflip and like throw a tomahawk into like the bad guy's car.
Yes, and he like cracks his knuckles and stuff
too. Yeah,
and then they like get up next to each other. The bad guy swings one punch. He dodges. He like uppercuts. The good guy uppercuts him and then, like, knock out just right there. And then that's the end of the commercial. Like, it goes to black and it just says, Pepsi, the winner's drink, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's perfect.
In Russia, Pepsi is
drinks you.
Yes. And that's my Pepsi commercial, directed by Ridley Scott. We have a final listener question for the episode today. What time? How are we doing time? We're good. I like the Russian Pepsi commercial.
Me too.
Russian Pepsi. Our final listener question is, if you could see any artist anywhere in the world, who would it be and where? And this question goes throughout time, so it doesn't matter if they're dead or if they no longer perform art. And it doesn't have to be music. It can be a play or... it could be a painter, and it doesn't matter, like, whatever artist you want to use.
Okay.
And it could be anywhere in the world. What would you do?
I have a couple top answers. What's yours, though, first?
Well, I mean, I have a bunch, but, like, this is, like, a dumb one. This isn't my real one, but this is the coolest one.
Okay.
The coolest one is in 1971. Pink Floyd did a concert in the ruins of Pompeii. You know, Pompeii, the city that blew up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like this big Colosseum. Or not Colosseum, it's this big like forum, public forum in Pompeii. They like played a concert in the middle of that. Nobody was in the audience. They just played in the middle of the ruins, and like that's just cool to me. And it would have been really cool. And they just did it live. They just played live. Nobody there in the ruins, like during the day and through the night. And someone they had a camera person record it, and then they made that an album. And like that's just like a cool idea. Like, I don't know if I would choose Pink Floyd, but like that venue is just like super badass, you know, like ancient ruin venue.
It goes with their music a lot too. A lot of their music talks about like ruin and mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. And, so it's like cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd pick them, but that venue is like badass. So like, I don't know. I think I'd choose some crazy ruined place like that, or like, oh, like if you had like some rock band performing in Machu Picchu during the sunrise or something.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be so sick, yeah.
I want to hear your idea.
Yeah. Mine's not as cool as that.
Sorry, I set you up for failure.
It's okay. I would choose to see Ruthie Henshaw perform.
No idea who that is.
She's a singer.
Okay.
She would perform in Cats in London in West End, mm-hmm. probably. Like, I think it was in the 60s she was active or something.
Mm-hmm. So you'd be there in the 60s.
Yeah, she's my favorite singer of all time. And that was kind of the musical that she got her big start in.
Yeah, so you'd see her, like, at her...
Yeah, in London, on their West End. And I want to see her play Grisabella in Cats.
And that would be her, like, first, like, big break, right? Like, you would see her before she was well-known.
Yeah, it's in this one performance. There's only a really bad recording of it, but, like... In the final song, Memory, like, everybody knows that song.
Yeah, from Cats, yeah.
Yeah, and she really, really does... It's hard to explain, but she does really good in that song. And then she became a great singer.
Then she became famous and well-known for it, yeah.
So that's probably what I would
choose. Okay, you've inspired me, and I know exactly what I'm going to say now. Pink Floyd in Pompeii is, like, my fake, like, cool answer, cool guy answer. But my real answer is, in 1969... Led Zeppelin was not known. Like, before they released their first album, nobody knew who they were. And they performed at a school auditorium in Finland or Denmark or something. And the audience was only like 30 people, and they were sitting on the floor. And Led Zeppelin was on this, like, small little wooden raised block thing. And they just played all their songs for, like, I don't know, like an hour. And it's like, they have video of it online. It's, like, really bad quality, but it's, like, really good concert. But, like, that's the concert I would go to. And that's really stupid, but, like, it's before they were famous. They didn't have all their songs written, but they were, like, really young and, like, crazy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it would just be really fun to go to a concert like that, you know?
Yeah. So honestly, I would probably rather see that than the Pompeii one. When I see, like, live music, I like that really intimate, like, sit on the floor.
Like, singing. It's like you're getting a look at a band that's going to be, like, the next big thing. And maybe those kids didn't know they were going to be the next big thing, but, like, some of them probably did. Like, wow, like, this band's going to be huge, and, like, we're seeing this in our school auditorium for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild, you know what I mean? Like, and that would be really cool, like, an experience like that. Not necessarily that band in that place, but that kind of experience is, like... You're seeing someone before they get really, really popular at, like, this tiny little intimate venue. I think that's, like, really cool. I think that's the coolest.
The good thing about an experience like that, where you're seeing someone who's going to become amazing, like, before they are, is you can have, like, infinity experiences after that watching them become amazing.
Yeah, and then it's really cool because you can see the trajectory or whatever. But so that's probably my real pick. Because, I mean, every time I watch that concert, I was like, oh, I wish I was there. I think that would be so cool.
I've similarly listened to Ruthie Henshaw's performance in Cats,
and like, you're like, I wish I was like there
5,000 times in low quality,
and you're like, I wish I was there even though there's a shitty YouTube video that's bad quality, but I want to listen to it again. Something about it, like, being live in the moment is just really cool. Anyway, what are you gonna do? I don't know. Those are my picks. If you have picks, send them in to us, I guess, listeners.
I'd like to hear people's picks.
We have about, like, this. 5 minutes left in the show. I don't know how we're going to fill this time.
I got a good question.
All right. Throw it on me.
This was posted by Officially Deleted.
Officially Deleted.
Okay. Thanks, Officially Deleted.
Thank you, Officially Deleted.
He asks, besides horses, what would be the most ridiculous way to measure an engine's power?
Only you would pick this question.
Like, what were we thinking there?
Horses. I don't know. I think the idea is that, like, that's the only thing we had to relate to. Because we only used horses to go fast. And they're like, well, how many horses could this equate to? And they're like, well, about 30 horses. Like, okay.
I don't think that's true, though. They had, like, jewels and stuff. I don't know if that's the right unit of measure.
No, they did, yeah, the electricity. They did have jewels and torque and, like, real physics terms.
But just, horses, though.
No, this is what happened. Some guy went to buy a car, and he was like, so how powerful is this car? How fast is it going to go? And the guy's like, oh, well, it can accelerate to 50 miles per hour or whatever, you know, 30 miles per hour. And the guy's like, I don't know what that means. And he's like, well, the force is, you know, 70 joules. I don't know if that's a real thing. But, you know, he says the physics terms like, oh, it has 70 joules and it has 20 torque and blah, 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 units of this and that. And he's like, I don't know what any of that means. Like, give me how it is in horse terms. And the guy probably just pulls a number out of his ass and he's like, oh, well, it's about 30 horsepower. And the guy's like, whoa, 30 horsepower. Gotta have it now. And they just sell it as 30 horsepower. And then later on in history, we realize, okay, we've used horsepower. We have to calibrate our measurements of cars from that one stupid off-the-cuff remark. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's how we got horsepower. I mean, that's my theory.
I just love that car salesman scene that you just created. He's like, he gives him the exact amount of power that the car has in precise terms, and the guy's just like, great, we got a math guy here. Like,
good for this guy, Albert Einstein. I don't need to know that. I just need to know the horses, how the horses compete with the car. He's like, well, that's about 30 horsepower. It just makes it up. And then they base it off that, you know?
Yeah.
I bet it's something like that. I mean, that story sounds ridiculous, but I bet it's close to the
truth. He's like, yeah, 30 horses, yeah.
Like, no. It's not really, like, however much horsepower, it doesn't equate to that many horses. Like, nobody's measured a horse and was like, yep, the car is about this many horses. Like, that's not how horsepower works.
They don't, like, attach a car to, like, 100 horses and they drive in opposite directions.
And they're like, all right, this car's going 70, and it's requiring 50 horses to pull. So clearly, if you can go 70, that's 50 horsepower.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they do it. Maybe that's how they do it, and they do that in a lab.
Yeah. Maybe that's a secret. Maybe they just don't want you to know that, because animal rights groups would, like, get all over them about that.
Somehow, I don't think that's how they do it. I think somewhere along the way, we invented the dumb term horsepower. And we just had to stick to it. And now we can't use the real physics term because everyone is used to horsepower. Which is super meaningless to me even still. Like, I don't know what horsepower means.
I do know horsepowers of different cars, though. Like, I've heard that my Honda that I have has X amount of horsepower. And I know that, you know, the Ford Mustang has more.
Sure. But the numbers don't really mean anything to you. You can't quantify and be like, oh, all you can do is be like, oh, this car has more horsepower than this.
Yes, I can tell that one is bigger than the other.
That's it. That's all I can tell. But, like, that doesn't mean anything. It's like, okay, 300 horsepower, that means I should be able to get up to about 120 miles per hour. You know, like, that doesn't, like, you can't do that with a horsepower. You're just like, I don't know what that means. It's got that many horses that could pull it.
Yeah, it's just like that whole system of measurement is kind of just a big measuring contest, like, oh, it goes faster than this car, which was blank horses.
It's kind of like in televisions with, like, 1080i and all that stuff or whatever.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's like we just made up numbers that are kind of based on real life, but not really. And people are like, oh, 4K, yeah, sure, you're 4K, whatever the hell. And you're like, yep, that's right.
4,000. That's bigger than 1,000.
It must be better. This car has 300 horsepower. That car only has 150. Like, You know, I think it's engines, the horsepower measurement, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's engine power. But even then, like, you could just measure that in joules or whatever.
People are weird.
They are weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. But what are you going to do?
Is that the end of our show?
No. You have another question for me?
I'll do one more, yeah. Okay. This was asked by Joey Wessels. Thanks, Joey.
Thanks, Joey.
He asks, if you could do one thing together with Danny DeVito, what would it be?
Eat a pizza.
Pizza? I think I would. Let's do bowling. Because you can have pizza while you're bowling.
Oh, that's better. Can I come it's with like a you rule. To go to the bowling Danny DeVito pizza party? Do you think Danny DeVito would be like a nice person to hang out with?
I think either way, I would enjoy it.
Because it's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Could Danny DeVito even bowl? He's so short.
That's rude. Yes, he can bowl.
No, I don't know. I don't know if you have to be tall to bowl.
They make the little balls for...
he could do the grandma, like, bowling. Yeah.
We could get the gutters put up so that it doesn't...
For Danny DeVito. You'd be, like, cursing the whole life. Like, I don't need the damn gutters. I'm Danny DeVito. I don't need the fucking gutters.
He gutters, like, every single ball.
It's like, give me that pizza. At least I got pizza. God damn it.
It's madder and madder over the course of the evening.
This sounds fun. I'd go Danny DeVito pizza with you. Yeah. Danny, if you're out there listening, send us a tweet, @TimeBetsHow. Who's our sponsor today, BatSnacks?
Our sponsor today is Fishhead brand tea. Why is it tea? That doesn't sound good.
You, like, dunk a fish head in boiling water.
It's like that. It's like that bone broth people drink. People drink gross. But it's like fish.
Fish head tea. Like, the tea bag is just a fish head attached to a string. And you just, like, dunk it in boiling water.
It's a health beverage.
But no, it has like flavors too. It's like there's like orange, like
teriyaki.
Or there's like an orange, there's a teriyaki, there's like a cucumber one, you know.
Yeah.
A nice
soy sauce, mirin, yuzu.
When you're in the mood for some interesting complex flavor of tea, choose Fishhead. Remember, when you're feeling like a loser,
go beat up a bruiser.
There you go, like the Russian people with the Pepsi commercial. I'm Time Aces.
I'm Bat Snacks.
And have a great night. Good night, everyone.
See you later.
Drive safely. Bye.